a new class of beings that have never existed before. And we went further and said that Jesus Christ put an end to the old Adamic race and brought out a new man in Christ. Now, I'll talk a bit, let me just explain something a bit in this place. You know, have you heard of clones? Clones are, when you heard of cloning in medicine, it's a way whereby you produce a genetically identical duplicate of an organism. So it's called genetic engineering, where you try and duplicate or clone an organism or clone something that looks exactly like the other thing genetically. So you duplicate it, and the way they do it is that they go to the genetics and they mix some things together, some genes, and they cause another being or organism to come out which looks exactly as a replica of the original being. So what God has done to bring it down to our mental, our mind, He has gone to the genetic structure, which that sin nature, which was the genetic of Satan that was injected into man when Adam fell. He went into that genetics and caused a reformation and a transformation, and he put his own genetics inside man and caused him to become a new man. That's why he says that whosoever is born of God cannot sin, for his seed or his genetics or his genes are inside him. For example, if you look at genetics, I just want to talk so that I can relate it to your mind. If you look at genetics, you see that if a man commits a crime and you want to pin this thing to say, you know, this new creature, and you arrest him and you get a sample of his hair or his DNA, and he goes to court and all that, and that will use as evidence against him. What I'm saying is that when you change, if you change a man's genes and you take him to the same court of law and they take the same hair strands and they test it and they find out that this thing has changed and it's not the same as the other man's genes that was there before, you can't have any case or allegation against him. So also in the spirit realm, the person you were before you became a new creature, there is no record. That means nobody can hold a charge against you anymore, because when they come to the court of heaven and they bring out the genes of the new man, they will say there is no record of this man doing any event or committing any crime, because the transformation and the genetics have changed. That's our practicality. So understand that that new creature is a completely new man, different from the old. He might still carry the same body, he might still have the same mind, but he's completely different. It's like a newborn baby that does not have a past. In the spirit realm, the record of your past, when you come into Christ, has been completely wiped out. The record of your past, you have become a new person. We'll go further into that and we'll see how, you know, it's so powerful that if you can catch and grasp a knowledge of this truth, it will actually cause you to actually see how healing and all the other benefits are translated into your life. And that new man has the same life, has the same power, has the same righteousness, has the same glory and spirit and qualities that God has. Because when God created the new creature, He put everything He wanted in man. He put everything He wanted inside this new creature. He put it in Christ Jesus. So when you come into Christ, all the attributes of God are now inside that new man. Let's understand this. The important thing about this thing is that these things have to be repeated and rehearsed on a daily basis till it enters into your consciousness, and then you begin to live even in that light. Satan has no more record or evidence against you in the realm of the spirit. So all the things, all the events that happened in your past before you came into Christ have been completely wiped out. So when they come to the courts of heaven, God will say, I don't know anything about this chap. He's unblameable. It's irreprovable in my sight. I don't know anything he has done. There's no record in the courts of heaven. That man has been completely put to death. And a new man has come in. He has walked out of Adam and he has walked into Christ. So he has no record on the earth. He's a new man, completely different from the old. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. So understand that. It is not just a cliche. It is actually what took place. A miracle took place. The Holy Ghost recreated a new man in Christ Jesus. So you have no other life now as a Christian apart from the life you have in Christ Jesus. And that's how God sees you. So you have to begin to see yourself in that light. First Peter chapter 2 verse 9. First Peter 2:9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. He says, you are a chosen generation. That word generation comes from the same Greek word as regenerated. I want to go slowly. Regenerated. The same Greek word as means to be regened. That means a new gene has been put into you. A genetic makeup that no longer comes from Adam or your past. A genetic makeup that comes from Christ. It comes from the Almighty God. And the same qualities of Christ are now inside the new man. You have the genes of Christ Jesus, the conqueror of all things inside you. So that's why it's impossible for you to fail. It's not that it's a cliche. When it says we are more than conquerors, it's not because we are saying it. It's because that is what actually happened. It says he triumphs over them in it. He spoiled principalities and powers and triumphed openly over them in it. He paid the price. And when he had satisfied the claims of justice, in fact, let me go back to the cross. What happened is when he went to the cross, literally, what happened in the spirit realm, God split him into two and put you inside him in his death, burial, and resurrection. You have to begin to see yourself like that. He paid the price, and when he went to hell and he satisfied the claims of justice, God said, enough. The price has been fully paid to redeem the entire race, human race, from all the sins, the sin of Adam. He now quickened him and caused him to rise up from the dead. And the Bible says the fact that he's risen from the dead is an indication of one, you have been justified, and two, death has no more dominion over anybody that is in Christ Jesus. Death has no more dominion over anybody in Christ Jesus. Because what happened is that simply that victory was now planted into us. And when we accept Christ, the miracle takes place and the Holy Ghost recreates us and brings us into this identity. This thing is fundamental, but it has to be thoroughly understood by a person. It has to be thoroughly understood. He says, you are a new generation, a new gene, and a new genetic makeup has come into you. I will go a bit deeper into this in a short while, and I will show you where, when you see clearly, you will know that sickness has no power over you. You know that disease has no power over you. You will know. I have to go to the origin of this thing, so we'll see the power we have over this thing. Because people are trying to do what has already been done for them. People are trying to labor to get what has been secured for them. There's a difference between laboring with a consciousness of your identity and laboring with ignorance. Because you can be laboring to get approval from God, whereas these things have been freely given unto you. In other words, a royal priesthood, which has an equal access to the Father. The Father is as happy to see you as any prophet on the earth. You have equal access, a royal priesthood. That means there's nobody that has more access to you to God than you. You have equal access with everybody. There's no special. You are special in the sight of God. He's happy to see you. You have the same access. Another translation puts that you have a priesthood of kingly lineage. That's how I put it. So you have access, no better access. You can never have more access than you have. You can never have more access than you have. Say, a holy nation. You belong to a new nationality and a new citizenship. And God was telling me when I was meditating on this that look, people have allowed the world system to squeeze them and to think that their citizenship is actually on earth. When you came from your country of origin and you became British, in fact, there are some countries that if you become a British citizen, you have to relinquish your nationality of the other, I think India or so. You can't have two citizenships in India. So you have to drop that one and accept the British one. It means that you are not qualified for anything that the British, that the Indian nation will give you. Everything that you now get will come from the British citizenship. So God was saying that, look, people are still dilly-dallying between two. When you crossed over into the kingdom of God, your citizenship is now from heaven, and all your supply should actually come from the kingdom of God. So you have to understand how we'll function in this kingdom as citizens. The things on the earth are fine, but there'll just be channels to use. But that mentality of the fact that, look, your citizenship is not on earth, it means that if there's recession in a place, it doesn't mean that it will affect you. That's why Isaac could sow in that land and he could reap a hundredfold. God was saying those are types and shadows of the things to come, that we should understand and know how to begin to function in the kingdom. He says Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed, cannot be compared to what I want to make my children in this time. Let's understand this. Our citizenship is not from heaven, is not from earth, where we are pushed around or begin to fashion our mind or begin to say the things that the citizens of the earth say, because they're not the same. We are from a completely different country, a completely different nation. In fact, when things that happen to them happen to us, God is saying that I want to use you as a point of contact to liberate them from that thing. If something is happening in the world and it touches a believer, it means the time has come for the world to be liberated. So God will bring out the solution through that person to go out and liberate the world. That's how it is. So understand that you are not the same. You are a citizen of heaven. To show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The essence of it really is that God wants to stand and say, look, this is the way I treat my people. That people will look at your life and God will stand and say, look, look at that life. This is the way I treat my people, basically. He wants to show forth that praises. He says, because God is magnified, it takes pleasure in your prosperity. And Satan's vow is that, look, I will make sure these people do not manifest your life. But God is saying, look, who will stand with me and see and stand with me and stay with me until all the treasures in their lives come to pass on the earth? So that's the thing of it. He wants to stand and say that we should be to the praise of his glory. That means when people look at us, they say, oh God, this is the glory of God in manifestation. That's it. And then where the fact that God wants to punish, or that gospel, where does it come from? That God wants to punish people to teach them a lesson. It's very strange. When you begin to understand the riches of his goodness, his kindness was so much, even that he could not even keep it among the Christians. He spread it to the whole world. He says, this God is so full of compassion that he even causes his rain to shine on the just and the unjust. Just shows you how liberal he is. He says, I have so much that even my children, it's too much for them, so I have to spread it out because I'm just a good God. So we are not a people, but are now the people of God. The former nobodies are now God's somebody. So if a star in the world, please not say, comes into church. When you go out, you call your friend, do you know who came to church today? Maybe Britney Spears or so, I don't know who it is. When you get home, you call all your friends and like, yeah, this person came to church today, everybody be excited. But I'm telling you that, if each person here, you are much more precious than that. I want you to understand the mind, a paradigm shift. It says, you were nobody, but you have now become somebody. You're more precious than that. We should be jumping and saying, Esther came to church today. We should be jumping and saying, I want you to understand, let us have that paradigm shift. Our mindset should be different from the world's mindset. You see, we are not celebrating their stars. Our only star is Jesus Christ and the new creature in Christ Jesus. That's our star. Just understand that we are special. We are peculiar. No matter how much wealth a man on the earth has accumulated, his life cannot be compared to the new creature in Christ. Because God said he sold all he had. Let's just go there for a bit. Matthew chapter 13. The church has to begin to change their mindset. Because it's coming for a bride who is perfect. The days of inferiority complex are gone. You go to work, you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a new creature in Christ. They ask you, what are you talking about? You say, I have the life of God in me. Verse 45. You see, some of the things people say, they say, you know, if you are the only person on earth, Jesus Christ will still have come to die. Those things are truths. Well, the problem is that the church has not taken time, like we heard this morning, to caused this. In fact, I was reading Copeland's book. He said, when you're quoting scriptures to people, he said, I know that one. But the fact that it's not manifesting in your life means that you haven't gotten it. The fact that the evidence is not showing forth in your life means that you are not there yet. You're in the process. So let's understand that. The fact that you come and say, I'm a king's kid, and there's no evidence of kingship in your environment means you have not gotten it yet. It means you should settle down and get those fruits, which we will talk about later, into your inner consciousness. Let the Holy Spirit cause those things to explode inside you. There's no way that those truths enter a man and you become a different man. So let's settle down. The fact that he says, I will lend to many nations and not borrow, it means that you haven't reached there yet. So settle down with the word of God and let those things enter inside you. Let them enter inside you. Give yourself. You have about, the year is already February. Sit down with something, with the word, and begin to give yourself to it in the privacy of your house until, just takes one truth. One word of God can change your life forever. One truth is enough. Sit down with it and let it enter into your inner consciousness. We'll talk about that later. That was a distraction. So, chapter 45, Matthew 13, 45. Say, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He says the merchant, likened to God, was seeking goodly pearls. It's like people in the world. When he found one pearl, that means you, of great price, he sold everything that he had and bought it. It means that when you go to the market to buy something, you trade what it's worth to you for the value of it. If I pay £1,000 for a car, it means the car is worth £1,000. So God is saying that even if it's one person that was on the earth, he places so much value on you that he went to sell, there's nothing more you have to sell. Jesus Christ is God's most prized possession. He took the son and he laid him on the altar. That shows you the value he places on you as a person. The value of everything he had, he gave it for you as a person. That's the value God places on you. So begin to see yourself with that value. God places premium value on you. And the enemy's plot is trying to make you feel through the circumstances, through the experiences of your life, even through the current condition, that you are not that worthy. But God is saying that if it was only you on the earth, I would still have given my life for you. Understand that. The thing about it is that these things have to be ingrained into our hearts and into our consciousness. That's what makes the difference. Not just hearing, we've been hearing this for years and years. It's the man that will take time. The difference this year is the man that will take time to sit down with the word in his bedroom and allow the Holy Spirit, as he meditates on it, as he ponders it, and allow the Holy Spirit cause those words to enter into his inner consciousness. That's the man that will make a difference. That's the man that will make a difference. Let's understand that this year, we have February now. Let's sit down for 30 days and do this thing. Take one area of your life, because we're talking practical now. That area that is most important to you, sit down with the word of God and do the things we're going to talk about. Let that word enter into you and see what God does. So, it says, we are now a people of God, and we have now been accepted in the beloved. No, so I want to emphasize on something here, and I will go to the area of bodily healing, but you can use it in other areas. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. You see, God's word always works. And I'll say this, the fact that you didn't see a manifestation and you practice the word does not have anything to do with seems to do with God, because what is settled, it has to do with you. Right. He says the degree of thought and study you give to the word is the degree of power and manifestation that will come out of it. I'll give you an example. This is between yours. Dr. Crepidola, you know, when he was diagnosed with terminal aggressive prostate cancer, the doctor told him that he had a few months to live. I just want to paint the picture to you. So he said, doctor, thank you. I know definitely that the price has been paid for me to be healed. I know it's my legal right to be well, and I'm not going to die. He came home. He canceled all his meetings and engagements. I want to show you that, you know, he canceled all his meetings and engagements, and he sat down with his wife. He said he sat down with the Word of God. He took all the messages on divine healing. He sat down with his wife with the Word of God and the scriptures on healing. He said 5 minutes a day did not pass without him declaring the word. No, look at it. Just think about it. As in every 5 minutes, he declared. He said, I went after that thing aggressively. They said it was aggressive. He said, I went after it aggressively because I wasn't trying to get healed. I knew it was my right to be healed. And this uncircumcised Philistine wants to send me to my grave before time and before I finish my purpose. Impossible. He went after it aggressively. That is what it takes. You have to go after it aggressively with the word of God. See, every 5 minutes, I either declared the word regarding my body, I broke bread, I was injecting life constantly. Life until the level of life rose up in me and swallowed them and destroyed that tumor completely. In 6 months, I went to the doctor and there was no trace of it. Higgins said there will be times when he will mutter Mark 11:23 all night in his bed. He said, if this disease had touched someone else, especially when I've died. He said, but I was persistent. He said, but I stayed there with it. I stayed with it because I knew that this was true. I stayed with it on my bed. I muttered it to myself until that thing rose on the inside of me and destroyed it. Life is stronger than death. The word of God will dissolve anything. See, this word is powerful. Let's understand that. So go after that thing. See, put everything aside. The one that's the most challenging thing, put it before you. And think about the first child opens the womb. When you defeat that one, the next one will be easy. Understand that. God has done everything he can. There's nothing else for him to do. He's given us the word and the Holy Spirit to help us. That's why we're doing these 30 days. We're trying to do so that God will say so that people will build that momentum. You know, of declaring that word until that thing breaks into their inner consciousness and they know who they are. When they come out of that place, it is sure. It said the word of God is perfect. That means it's been tried 7 times and it, with each trial, it has come out victorious. It can never fail. It can never fail. It's not possible for it to fail. So you can put your entire life on the word of God. It has never failed and it can never fail. Just understand that. I want to go briefly into this, and we'll round up with this. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And the thing about it is that it might look as if you're whistling in the wind initially, confessing it, it seems as if you're speaking. In the process of time, something begins to happen on the inside. Something needs to happen on the inside. Don't give up. The enemy will say, you're just wasting your time. So you're talking, you're just, it's theory. Maybe you did it before. Forget it. Just keep on going. See? Keep on going. After a process of time, something will break into your consciousness that your life will never be the same again. He doesn't want that to happen. That is why in the parable of the sower, Jesus says, look, my people, let me tell you, this is the fundamental for Christianity. The parable of the sower says, this is how Christianity works. Anything you want to produce in your life, the word of God is the seed of that thing. And when that word touches a human heart and enters into a human heart, something happens. There's something takes place. It's as if when a sperm enters into the egg and a child is created, when that word touches a human heart, there's a creation that takes place in that heart. A child is born. That's what the enemy wants to avoid. That's why he now says he blinds their eyes, he falls by the wayside, the heart is hardened. Everything is targeted at not allowing that seed to germinate in the ground. That's the whole essence of it. Because once that seed touches the ground and germinates, nothing is impossible. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Now, follow this story carefully. I believe that God wants to change certain things in the lives of people. He wants to change certain things. Follow this carefully. He says, 15. Let's start from 12. He says, but Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. As by one man, Adam, in his disobedience, sin. So when he disobeyed, sin, which is the nature of Satan, entered into man, and death came as a result of sin. Death, meaning that man was designed to live continuously, and because of that sin nature, there was a time limit to his existence. One. Two, death, meaning every negative thing that's an attribute of Satan, which is, let's go to, I have to explain this. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 28. We need to see this clearly so that because the effect of death has been magnified in our eyes so much. When you get home, read Deuteronomy 28 and I want you to see certain things. I won't major so much on it, but I will show you a few things here. You know, what's death? It says, let's go to it says, I come to pass, if thou will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, let's keep that. It now says, 16, when someone goes to work and his income is less than his expenditure, he's struggling to pay his bills. When someone's house is in complete disarray, his children have gone haywire. When someone's body is refusing to respond the way it should be. When someone's house is flooded with sickness and disease. Now, I want us to understand this. God is a practical God. He's not into theories. You know, there's nothing like theology here. We're talking about practical demonstration of the life of God in our lives as Christians. There's no theology. You know, theology is not for, it's not Christianity, it's not theology. Christianity is a manifestation of the sons of God. Now let's see this. It says, cursed shall be thy basket, 17, and thy storehouse. It says, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, cursed shall thou be when thou goest out and when thou comest in. He said, if you go on, in Exodus 22, the Lord shall smite you with consumption, as tuberculosis, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and that they shall pursue thee, and thou shalt perish. He now said, the heaven shall be as brass, and the earth shall be as iron. He now says, 45, he says, moreover, this curse shall come upon thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hast not hearkened the voice of the Lord thy God. He now says, in another place, he says, even every sickness and every disease that is not written in the book of the law, 61, he said, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Right. I said that for a reason. I want to show you something in scriptures. Wherefore, let's go on to Romans chapter 5. As by one man sin entered into the world, all those things we read are a product of sin. That's death. All those things we read are death. I mean, sin is, death is not just dying. Death is sickness and disease. Death is poverty. Everything that was not in man before the fall is a product of death. All Adam knew was to be fruitful, was to multiply, was to replenish the earth. There was no such thing as giving birth to children with cerebral palsy. There was no such thing. He said God looked at everything he made. They were very good. There's no such thing as giving birth to everything he made was good. Everything you see today is a product of the curse. It's a product of sin. It's a product of that nature that was injected into man when Adam fell. Only understand that. And that thing has worked its way up to physical manifestation on the earth. In our bodies, in families. Families are in disarray. Divorces are taking place. Not is that nature that is transmitting death on the earth. I'm going somewhere. I want you to understand it. Follow me closely. That nature is transmitting death on the earth. The crimes, all the ISIS, the terrorism, it is because of that sin nature that has been injected into man that has propagated itself and has magnified its effect on the earth. Let's understand this. See, nevertheless, 14. Death reigned. So say for unto the law of 13, sin was in the world, but those things were a manifestation, but it wasn't imputed because there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. That means those things were in manifestation. The effect of death was showing forth. People were having issues in their lives. People were having death situations in their lives. Even over them that are not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. It wasn't because of what they did or what they didn't do. It was that nature that was injected, that genetic makeup of Satan which has death in it. Satan doesn't have anything good inside. Death in it. Death in it was being propagated. Now, if you go further, it says, but not as the offense, 15, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. If through the offense of one, many be dead. If through the offense of one, disorder came to human lives. Much more. Much more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace is righteousness, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, has abounded unto many. He said, for not as it was by one that sinned, so is the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in one by one, Jesus Christ. So if by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, so also by the righteousness of one, the free gift has come upon all men unto justification. He says, if by, because of one man's offense, you had all sorts of death, the hospitals are filled with people with all sorts of disease because of the genetic makeup of sin. Now he's saying, listen to me carefully, by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, there's a gift. The genetic makeup has changed. Sin has been converted into righteousness. It says he was made sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So because of righteousness that has been imparted into you, the genetic makeup of man has become righteousness. So the propagation of righteousness has resulted in life. So there's a reversal of all the effects of that sin in your life as a person. The genetic makeup has changed. The inherited diseases have changed. Look, listen to me. Death brought those things. So the same way death brought those inherited things in a negative way, the fact that you're a new creature now, that genetic makeup has changed, so also that life will become to begin to reverse the effect of those sicknesses in your body. All the inherited traits are reversed. I want you to understand this. See this thing. Your life is now in Christ. Everything has been reversed. We seem to be able to appreciate the fact that I inherited this. This flows. The same way there were no children that were born deformed before Adam fell. The same way the life of Christ has reversed the order that death produced. So all now, as a new creature, everything that pertains to you has to have life. There's a reversal. There's a change. There's a change that's taking place. I want you to see this. There's a change that's taking place. It means that in your body, the effect of death has been nullified because of what Christ did. Not because of what you did. The obedience of Christ has caused a reversal. So those things have no right to stay there anymore. Understand this. There's a genetic change. It's a genetic change. You don't have to stay in that situation anymore. You don't have to accept anything you see that does not conform to what Christ has done. Those things died in Adam. They died in the last Adam. They died completely. Don't accept it. It is completely gone. There is no basis for it because the new man has come alive, and therefore those things should not be there. But since you don't have dominion, death in any form must not have dominion over you anymore because the genetics have changed. Just like you have a tree. The stuff has been removed, but the branches are still there. They are deceptions of Satan. Understand this. There is nothing like in a Christian that is inherited. There is nothing like that anymore because the genetics have changed. I want you to see this. Death produces those things. Sin produces those things. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. That means he took all those things. He became sin itself. So he went to the root of it. He went to the root of every form of disease, every form of, I'm using sickness as an, every form of poverty, every form of malformation in the human body, which were not there before the fall. They were a product of the fall of man. The nature of Satan entered in. So he went to the very depth of it and changed the nature. If you change the nature, that means everything produced will change after its kind. Understand this. It is so vital you see this truth. I pray the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see this in the Spirit. You catch it in the Spirit. I said the nature has changed. The genetics have changed. That means the life begins to produce after its kind. There are no deformed children in our homes anymore. There's no chaos in our homes anymore. Our children are producing after that kind of life. Our lives are, we don't go out anymore and labor and bring in little. Because of that life, all grace has come to us in abundance. It's the producing after its kind. Understand this. Understand this. It's the vital truth we must see. It is the life of God, the righteous, the gift of righteousness inside you. The new nature inside you is now going to be producing after its kind. See this clearly in the Spirit. No disease has the power over you anymore. In Adam it died. No sickness has power over you. In Adam it died. These things were in Adam. They're no more in Christ. It has no business with the new creature. Understand this and see it clearly in your mind's eye. Say, as sin has reigned unto death, 21. Even so, my grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And the truth about it is that you did not work for it. Christ Jesus secured it for you. So they might say, in this family, there's a recurrent history of that particular thing. It's because it's a product of, let me give you an example. Let me show you, let me explain this to you. A woman called Dr. Yeomans, there was a typhoid epidemic in a particular village. She was a missionary. People were dying. Missionaries were dying. So they called her to, so she prayed for the people, she gave them medicines. They were fine. But she said she has to go to the root of the matter. She went to the root. They went to investigate. They found out that there were some pigs that died at the water source. So because the pigs had died there, when they drink water, you know, they get infected. So they pray for them. They give them medicine. They'll get healed. But the source had to be dealt with. That's what I'm saying. That's what Jesus went. You have to see this. That's what Jesus went to do. It's fine to pray for healing. It's fine to pray for health. But the true thing is that because of what he has done, the true identity of the new creature is that he walks in divine health. It's fine to pray for deliverance. But the true identity of the new creature is that he's already been delivered. I want you to see. It's fine to pray for wayward children. But the true identity is that nothing evil, every good gift has come from God. And all things in this new creature are now of God. So understand that. So he went to the source. And they got rid of all the pigs. And after some time, the water became clean. They purified the water, and from then, they drank the water and nothing happened to them. So Jesus Christ has gone to the source. So it is us now that will show the world that, look, it's time for us to manifest these things in our lives. And how do we do that? It says, we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I'll talk about the gift of righteousness today. Next, we will talk about the abundance of grace. Two things you require to reign in life. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Those are the two things you require. The righteousness is a gift that was given to you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. He took away the sin nature. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. We didn't make ourselves. We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? That means we can stand before the presence of our Father based on what Christ has done, not based on anything we have done. He says, I want to show you this righteousness which is without the law, which is solely based on the faith. A man believes that Jesus Christ took his place. This righteousness is imparted into him and he becomes a new person. So he's saying that that righteousness was imparted to you. It's a gift that was given to you. It has nothing to do with you. And because of that righteousness, you can stand in the presence of God your Father based on the blood of Jesus without any sense of inferiority. It doesn't matter what you have done. The only thing you should have done is that you've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It brings you into that righteousness and it brings you into fellowship with Him. But the thing about it is that even if in the process you miss it, you go astray, the blood of Jesus is present. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bring us back into right standing with God. Not based on anything you have done, it's the blood of Jesus. So I want you to understand that that righteousness is what you enter in boldly to the presence of your Father with, without any sense of guilt. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. It doesn't matter what you have done. It is not based on anything to do with you. Because when God sees you, He doesn't see you as a person. He sees you in Christ Jesus. When He looks at you, He doesn't see you, Uvier. He sees you in Christ Jesus. He doesn't see you again. He sees Christ in you. He sees Christ. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Christ has paid the price. All the judgment. Christ is righteous. Therefore, you are righteous. Christ is holy, therefore you are holy. In fact, it was so important. Hagin said the angel appeared to him, and he fell on Jesus appeared to him, and he fell on Jesus' feet. Jesus said, "Don't do that. Why just fell down my feet? Stand up. The day when they say a man cannot see God and live, this is over." He says, "Face to face, we behold. It's different. Face to face." He says, Jesus looked into his eyes and said, "There's nothing wrong with you. You are completely perfect. You are completely whole. You are at par with me. You are righteous. You are pure. And you are holy." He looked him in the eye. So if you look God in the eye, that is the boldness. You come to the throne of grace, not based on your works, but because of what Jesus did. He pleases the Father. He said, this man, he believes in the sacrifice. He believes that what Jesus did was enough for him to stand holy. He's not trying again to try and do things to please me. He's not trying to work up himself to try and do things that will please me. He's already well pleased enough to me. He's coming boldly with complete confidence, knowing that Jesus Christ has paid the price. And he's standing before God without any sense of guilt. He's standing without any sense of condemnation. He walks boldly with audacity, not because of what he has done, but because he believes completely in the finish of God. Father said, I'm proud of that boy. I'm proud of that boy. Understand this. Humility is not crawling. That is pride. Pride in the fact that I don't feel like it. I have to do something to earn it. No. Christ did it all. Christ paid the full price. And Christ's blood is sufficient. You are bold to come in. Come in and look God in the eye. He says, we all with open face. Not like Moses. Not the days when you say, no man can see God and live. No, he says, no, we all with open face. Beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord. He says, now it's not that I have put you beside me to sit beside me in heaven's presence in Christ Jesus. Look at that. He looks at you with penetrating eyes. He says, I cannot find any fault in you. Understand this, it's liberating. The enemy, his plan is to make people feel condemned. Plan to make people feel that because of what they've done, God is not accepting them. They come a bit timid to the presence of God. Listen, it doesn't matter how you feel. This is the fact, this is the legal fact of the matter. I'm not trying to make it up. This is the legal fact in the realm of the spirit. God wants you to come boldly with audacity and look him in the eye. And he looks you directly in the eye and you don't shrink back. He says, because I find no fault in you because of what my son has done. His blood was shed. His blood was shed. His blood was shed for you. His blood is enough. You don't have to try and do anything else, see, to make yourself accepted. That's what I'm trying to say. You have been accepted in the Beloved. So come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace. That was righteousness. That was the gift of righteousness that was imparted into you when you gave your life to Christ. So no man can actually, if he can stand before the presence of God Almighty and he looks you into the eye and tells you, I find no fault in you, then who is man? When you have that understanding, when you go, like you said this morning, and drill that thought into your heart, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, that God would have been unjust if he did not declare me righteous because of what Jesus did. If you can have that understanding and let the Holy Spirit drill it into your heart, you become fearless. You become fearless in the face of sickness, of disease. You become completely fearless. You begin to walk tall. No man can actually shake you. No situation can shake you anymore. Because you understand that God Almighty finds no fault in me. I'm completely holy. I'm completely righteous. I'm completely irreprovable in his sight. Let's understand that. Let's understand that. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will actually, when you get back home today, take the truths and sit down in your house, in your bedroom. This is how it is. Before we go, let me show you something. Philemon. The gift of righteousness, we talked about it. So the presence, the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt or inferiority. Sometimes we feel we know it, but if you know it as you should, if you know it as you should, I want to show you how to know it as you should. If you know this as you, I mean, in knowing on the inside, you will not be, you walk tall. Nothing will move you. You will know, you just think about it. Your conscience is like, Jesus lives in me. I'm the right. No man can lay a charge against me. You walk, no matter who it is, you walk tall. In the presence of demons, in the presence of Satan, in the presence of your father, you stand tall. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He looks at me and finds no fault in me. There's no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I will just lay the foundation in the abundance of grace. The abundance of grace. It says, you come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace is actually the power of God that causes the transformation in the lives of people. It's an active force, a powerful thing that causes a change because you are saved by grace. It's a power in manifestation. I want to show you how, I'll just lay the foundation, how you actually come into this thing. You see, Philemon 1:6. Philemon 1:6. It says that the communication or the expression of your faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what we've been doing over the last 1 week. Based on instruction, as we acknowledge those things, what you should do really, on a more serious note, is to pray the prayer of Ephesians chapter 1 every day. We're calling practical now. Sit down in your house. Because if God does not open your eyes, like I said on Friday, the seeds will fall by the wayside. He said, when the word was sown, those that fell by the wayside are those that did not understand it. Because they did not understand it, he said, then the birds of the air came to steal the word. The problem was they did not understand. Because they did not understand, then the birds of the air came to steal the word. So the first thing is that, Father, I come humbly for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of the Lord, that I might see the truth inside this word. Holy Spirit, cause my eyes to be opened. Cause my understanding to be opened. I might know the hope of your calling. When you pray that prayer, and you sit down with the word, and begin to mutter the scripture to yourself. See, you sit down in your room until you feel it rising on the inside of you. See, you sit down, this is the practice of it. You sit down in your room and begin to say, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. He made me a new creature. I am engrafted in the vine. Christ lives in me. He was one with me. I am a new creature. Just begin to do that. And begin to do that. The Holy Spirit, you begin to feel after some time, after a few minutes, half an hour, something begins to rise on the inside of you. You begin to feel that presence rising on the inside of you. See, you begin to feel that rising on the inside of you, and it takes over your entire being. And when you declare that thing, you will know that some things are moving. When you come out, you're a different person. That's how we are transformed. It's not by running around. It's not by shouting. That is how the transformation takes place. Regarding any area, do this. And once that begins to rise up, joy unspeakable, full of glory, begins to fill your heart. See, this is the practice of Christianity. Abraham strayed for 25 years. God appeared to Abraham and said, you have been straying around. I want to show you the perfect law of liberty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. If you see a perfect man, that man is able to bridle his tongue. I'll change your name. Your name shall not be called Abraham anymore. It shall be called Abraham, because I made you a father of many nations. Abraham, I am a father of many nations. Abraham, I am a father of, this is the perfect law of liberty, guys. Abraham, I am not going to be a father, but I am a father of many nations. God puts things in the Bible specifically. Is it futuristic? It's not futuristic. It's past. Say, I have made you. I am already a father of many nations. I am already healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not trying to be. I am already righteous. I'm not trying to be righteous. My children function perfectly. They're not trying to function perfectly because it has already been done in Christ Jesus. It's already fulfilled in my life. You sit down with it and begin to declare things that be not as though they were. That's the practice. That's the practice. He says, he that ministered the Spirit to you, did he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Or by the hearing of faith. Listen. Or by the hearing of faith. And as you hear it, that's how transformation takes place. It's the hearing of faith. Abraham started saying, I'm a father of my nation. In 1 year, Isaac was born. He tried to do it before. He had to manipulate the external circumstances. Do this just 30 days. Sit down in your room and do this thing for 1 year. God's word can never fail. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, you stand before him irreprovable. May now begin to operate. We'll continue next week on the abundance of grace, the areas we have to touch. But remember this, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It doesn't matter who is against you. People believe that if someone is against them, that it's finished. If they just, I don't know, if pastor is angry with me, then that's it. No. It doesn't have to do, pastor. Pastor is angry. That's pastor. Let pastor be angry. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Understand this. It has to go deeper than that. That even if everybody is against you, you can stand and say, God looks at me without any sense of condemnation. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the people say. Even people I respect. It doesn't matter. You have to come to that point where everything against Jesus Christ said, everybody forsook him. But he knew that God was with him. You have to come to that point in your life where even if everything turns around, you can still stand boldly before God without any sense of intimidation and inferiority. And I thank you because you look at me and you find no fault in me. Understand that. Very important. Then we'll now talk more about the gift of right, the abundance of grace next week. Father, we give you thanks. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will strengthen us. We transform because these are the days of the manifestation of the sons of God. Father, we go quietly. Our voice is not heard in the street. But quietly, you're building us up into an army that will transform and take over this nation for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God. We infiltrate ourselves into the various areas with this life. And begin to spread that power of the resurrection into our environment. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord God, for your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.